is under. This is the War Room.
The damage control on the Epstein debacle continues. But I thought to myself, why would they even do this? Why would the former Israeli prime minister come out and release that statement? And then I'm scouring the web yesterday and it hit me. Folks, it's called what we're going to call, a digital cover-up. And I went and tested this out and I did a screen record video. And the crew can put that on the screen now. And you can go do a timed search on Google or any search engine you want. And before the former prime minister made that comment, if you would have searched something along the lines of Epstein Mossad or Epstein claimed to be Mossad, that's what I searched just to keep it more more specific so you can just see how the digital cover-up worked. Now, every single story is former Israeli prime minister says it's patently false. Epstein never worked for Mossad. So before he said that, if you did a Google search, Epstein Mossad, every story would have been Epstein Mossad. Epstein claimed to work for Mossad. Epstein worked for Mossad. Robert Maxwell, Epstein Mossad. But now, because the Israeli prime minister said, nope, never was Mossad, now you search it and that's all you get. That's called a digital cover-up, ladies and gentlemen. And you got to give it to the Israelis. I mean, they've mastered, they have to be the best in the world at propaganda and espionage. I don't even think it's close. They are the best. And they ran the digital cover-up on Epstein Mossad, and they did it perfectly. And now when you search Epstein Mossad, all you get is, nope, Epstein wasn't Mossad. When before he made that statement, all you got was, yep, Epstein was Mossad. Isn't that amazing? Or maybe this is more amazing. Maybe the real Mossad asset, Maxwell, is going to testify before Congress? Do you think this is even going to happen? Or is this just more damage control? Here's Mike Johnson with Benny Johnson saying, oh, yeah, he'd like to see Maxwell testify in front of Congress. Clip 11.
Speaker Johnson, this is sort of on the heels of something else that a lot of people are asking questions about. And because we've been lied to by our federal government for so long, I feel like there's some type of like a pain. There's a pain point, right? And a pressure cooker that gets heated up on issues like the Epstein issue,
yeah.
Right? And obviously that's something that's taken over a lot of the online dialogue. But a question here about it that concerns either testifying or testimony for Ghislaine Maxwell, potentially before Congress, or if you would support members like Marjorie Taylor Greene or Ana Paulina Luna on the release of subpoenaing the Epstein documents from the DOJ, whether you would support either of those.
Yeah, I haven't talked to Marjorie or Anna about that specific subject, but I'm for transparency. We're intellectually consistent in this. Look, Reagan used to tell us we should trust the American people. I believe in that principle. I know President Trump does as well, and I trust him. I mean, he put together a team of his choosing, and they're doing a great job. It's a very delicate subject, but we should put everything out there and let the people decide it. I mean, the White House and the White House team are privy to facts that I don't know. I mean, this isn't my lane. I haven't been involved in that. But I agree with the sentiment that we need to put it out there. And you know, Pam Bondi, I don't know when she originally made the statement. I think she was talking about documents, as I understood it. They were on her desk. I don't know that she was specific about a list or whatever, but she needs to come forward and explain that to everybody. I like Pam. I mean, I think she's done a good job. We need the DOJ focusing on the major priorities. So let's get this thing resolved so that they can deal with violent crime and public safety and election integrity and going after Act Blue and the things that the president is most concerned about, as we are. So I'm anxious to get this behind.
Yeah, well, we all are. But unfortunately, they just made it 100 times worse. And the more they do damage control and the more they try to cover their ass and the more they lie to us and put out obvious political propaganda, the worse it's going to get. Now, what are the odds that Maxwell is actually going to get to testify in front of Congress? Does she really want to even do that, or does she realize that's a potential death sentence? So, I mean, I don't. Do we even trust her to be honest? I mean, I don't know. So it just sounds like more damage control.
How do I explain to people that my tongue is blue? Because I love this stuff, methylene blue. I'm able to work like 18-hour days sometimes. This stuff is like rocket fuel.
I didn't know you were going to plug this. You even ordered it yourself, I later learned. What is the effect of our medical-grade methylene blue been on you, Roger?
Incredible, both physical and mental energy and focus. I mean, it really is like rocket fuel. I used to like Brain Force. Back when I did the show with Owen Schroyer, the original, the real War Room, I was a big aficionado of Brain Force and Brain Force Plus. This is even a greater product. I cannot recommend it highly enough.
Well, I've not had any since Friday. I only take it every couple of days. So I'm going to take my dose of methylene blue, my Topo Chico. It is amazing. And people ask me, what does it do? It cleans out your mitochondria. It skips the oxidization process in the cell. It's like iodine to the next level. It is such a game changer. Roger Stone, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. God bless you.
Beacon of truth in a world of deceit. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
All right, the crew comes in here during the break and surprises me with a t-shirt. You know, I mean, they're in the giving mood today. He said, you know, we think this is a good t-shirt for you today. And, well, yeah, since Epstein wasn't doing anything wrong, since he didn't have any clients, it was just him. So we need to free Ghislaine, free Ghislaine Maxwell, free Ghislaine Maxwell, as Pam Bondi called her, Ghislaine. That's how with it she is. That's how in the know she is. It's Ghislaine Maxwell. So I said, oh, well, this is funny. And it's got realalexjones.com on there. And I said, wait a second, are we actually selling this? I said, no, this is actually at the store. So guys, poor, innocent Ghislaine Maxwell. Epstein had no clients. Epstein was just a lone actor, a lone pervert, a lone pedophile. Maxwell didn't know anything. She wasn't recruiting the girls to be trafficked to other rich, powerful, influential people. None of it was real. We're being told that now. So really, she should be freed. Free Ghislaine. TheAlexJonesStore.com is where you can get this limited edition t-shirt. Now that's funny. That is too funny. Who do you think pushed Robert off his yacht, guys? I'm just wondering who pushed. They'll probably say Robert Maxwell wasn't a Mossad agent too. They'll probably say Robert Maxwell wasn't an Israeli asset too. Is probably what the next thing will be. Once people start making the Maxwell connection, they'll probably, no. Who pushed him off the yacht? I wonder if a Ghislaine was there. I wonder if she was around. Anybody know? Does she have an alibi for that one? Just curious. We've got the Netanyahu not my president t-shirt. Oh, that's fun. I tell you, I can't even keep up with the apparel. Seemingly every day we have new apparel at thealexjonesstore.com. So those are a couple good ones right there. Those are some funnies. But we do have the Power Drive bundle that has just been introduced at thealexjonesstore.com. Save 50% with monthly delivery of this bundle, including Methyl Drive and Power Plant. Now, what Alex is saying about this is it's 10 times more powerful than Turbo Force. And if anybody remembers Turbo Force, that was some serious business. The Power Drive bundle is a two-part assault on fatigue, brain fog, and low performance. Power Plant lays the groundwork, boosting circulation, stabilizes stress response, and unlocking your body's ability to absorb and direct energy like a command center. No jitters, no crash, just clean support that keeps your system primed and responsive. Then comes Methyl Drive, a mitochondrial sledgehammer stacked with methylated B12, CoQ10, and PQQ to fuel your cellular engines, sharpen mental clarity, and ramp up metabolic output. Together, these two create a bioelectric power system. One regulates the grid, the other cranks the voltage. Unleash focus. Dominate your day. Never power down. The Power Drive Bundle. Subscribe now at thealexjonesstore.com and get 50% off. And then it's always guaranteed in stock for you, plus the auto ship, so you don't have to think about going and order it when you run out. And you support us. All happening right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Okay, I do want to move on from this Epstein thing, so let me just kind of clear out the rest of the cobwebs here. Let's skip the Democrats talking about Epstein now, and then trying to get that vote to the floor. We'll just skip that. You knew that happened, so I guess these people are at least clearing their name, if nothing else. I don't know. Now I'm saying, okay, well, Democrats that are wanting to get the list out there probably aren't on the list. I think it's a fair assumption to make. Okay, so let's just do this now, because you got to monitor the propaganda on both sides, and that's what it is. There's propaganda on the right and the left. And what I've seen from the big digital influence campaign accounts, a lot of them are anonymous, and they made big money during the campaign cycle, and I guess there's still leftover funds, or they're just getting paid by these other third-party groups to just continue to push political propaganda. And at first, they were trying to run cover on the Epstein thing and say, oh, just go with President Trump. I trust Trump. Let it go. Well, now they're pivoting, and they're saying, oh, well, Epstein was actually just laundering money. That's the new pivot. So when you see this stuff, that's 100% bought and paid for political propaganda. Oh, Epstein, he was just a money guy. And I'm not the more I look at the new developments and stuff, I'm actually starting to think Epstein probably got recruited himself. Maybe he got caught up in some scandal, and he was always a pedophile, and then he gets brought into these groups, and he gets introduced to the Mossad agents and the CIA assets and everything else. And then he just kind of becomes like the dealer. And he's just like, well, yeah, you know, he's into the kids, whatever. He's into the young girls. So he's always going to have the access, but then he's also going to kind of be the dealer. It's like, hey, we got some rich and powerful people. They're into these types that you're into. So you're going to facilitate these needs for us. And we're going to set you up with some compounds and an island, and you're going to have it all rigged for cameras and everything. And we're going to blackmail these people. But you don't worry about that. You handle the money. Here, you billions of dollars in his bank accounts. By the way, what about the bank accounts that were facilitating all of this? They should maybe be called to testify. So Epstein, probably the reason he was bragging about working for Mossad was because it was like a power trip for him. This guy's probably some low-life, creepy loser pedophile. But now he's got all these rich and famous and powerful people around him, and he's got these Mossad agents, and it's like, oh, he feels cool now. And really, he's just a low-life scumbag worm. I think Maxwell was the real Mossad agent. I think she was running the real blackmail operation. I think Epstein was basically just the fall guy and the money guy and a pedophile himself. But he was like the guy that was in on the crowds, and people knew, hey, if you're looking for something specific, that's your guy over there. What do you need? He can hook you up. He manages the money. But Maxwell was the real ties to Mossad. But Epstein, this low-life loser, probably thought, oh, I'm cool, man. I'm working with Mossad. We all know types like that. They just brag about something, to some connection that they have. So, yeah, I'm sure he's running around with these women. He feels all cool. And he's like, yeah, you know, I work with Mossad. You know, I'm a spy, right? And so then they run their digital cover-up with the former prime minister saying, nope, didn't happen. And then they just rewrite the entire internet algorithm. But when you start seeing this pivot now, because this is what it is, since they failed on covering up the Epstein files, since they failed on getting you to move on, now they're pivoting and they're saying, oh, no. Epstein was just the money guy. That's what this is really all about, was laundering money. That's all it really was, just laundering money. As if that's, oh, okay, so now we should forget about it. So he still had no clients, though. So he was still laundering hundreds of millions of dollars or whatever, but he had no clients still. So that's their new pivot, is he was just a money launderer, but still no clients. Oh. Yeah. Yeah, that's not going to work either. But a good go at it. You gave it an effort. All right, let's move into the geopolitical news today. Now, a couple days ago, this came out of the Financial Times, and then it was confirmed by other deep state hacks like Mike Pompeo and Nikki Haley. Donald Trump asked Vladimir Zelensky if Ukraine could hit Moscow. say, people that were briefed on the phone call. And Trump is obviously frustrated with Putin. That's no secret. And now, I mean, this is what's so sad. The neocons, the warmongers have taken over MAGA. So it's not MAGA anymore. I don't know what you want to call it. Like, I guess they call it MEGA. Mike Pompeo, President Trump understands what's at stake in Ukraine and what it will take to show Putin his days of acting with impunity are over. Neocon warhawk Mike Pompeo. Neocon warhawk Nikki Haley. The only way the Russian-Ukrainian war comes to an end is when the United States puts its weight behind NATO and Ukraine. Of course, because NATO, Ukraine is not a member of. So she has to make that distinction. It's Putin's nightmare. Kudos for Trump for acknowledging who the real aggressor in this war is. The Ukrainians are good fighters. They will finish it if they have the ammunition to do so. Folks, there's a report that is really hush-hush right now. The TSA, who does firearms training, are out of ammo. So they've been doing dry fire drills for some time now, for the foreseeable future, I suppose, because they don't have any ammunition. Well, why do you think that is? Because we have hollowed out our military reserves. We have hollowed out our military capabilities, our ammunition. Now look, TSA is a joke, so maybe they're just going to shut it down and that's why they're not getting the ammo. I don't know, but my theory is that they're out of ammo because we've sent it all to Ukraine. That's my theory. See, nobody's really talking about that angle. And now we're supposed to back Israel's multiple front wars. We're supposed to back Ukraine with more force, who's losing badly to Russia. And it's like, so I see the report from days ago, and I'll play some of these responses. And Trump pretty much denied it today. We'll play the Trump clips too. So I'm like, okay, would they be putting out this fake news just like they try to manipulate the situation with the Iranian nuclear sites? Would they be putting out this fake news to try to get Putin or get Ukraine or get Trump to escalate a war? We know deep state propaganda works like that. We know the military-industrial complex works like that. So could it be all propaganda? Or could Trump have been popping off on the phone and said, yeah, let's bomb Moscow? But clearly the warmongers, the warhawks, they want this war to continue. They want the death to continue. And you can't, there's no other way to slice this, folks. And Trump blames it on Biden, and that's fine. Biden got us into this war. They spent $300 billion, but Trump was supposed to stop it, and now they're going to be sending more aid. So we are directly involved in this war. And now, just like Obama ran on stopping the foreign wars, then he bombed like 13 different countries. Now, Trump said we're going to stop with the Ukraine war, and now he's going all into the Ukraine war, too. So there's no other way to put it. That's just the facts. And when you have the neocons and the warmongers celebrating it like this, that is bad news. And Nikki Haley says, this is a win for peace. Oh, yeah, more people dying. You disgusting bitch. This is a win for democracy. Oh, really? When was the last time they had a vote in Ukraine? Could you tell me that? Tell me how. Who is the real president of Ukraine? When was there an election? When did Zelensky's emergency powers expire? Nikki Haley, you sick, disgusting freak. So when Nikki Haley and Mike Pompeo are happy about extending the war with Russia, that's bad news. So Russia hears this and Putin comes out and warns of a nuclear Armageddon. Now, what have I been theorizing here? I've been theorizing that the respect, or dare I say even fear, that Trump instills on the rest of the world and maybe even dare say our enemies, I think it's gone. And they're trying to play it the exact opposite because of the Iran strikes. Folks, I don't think so. I think it's the opposite now. Now, this all hinges on what the truth is about his phone call with Zelensky. But I think it's different. I don't think it's Trump says something and the world reacts. Now it looks like Putin says something and Trump reacts, is what this dynamic appears to be to me. Russia warns of nuclear Armageddon after Trump's latest Ukraine move, and now Trump is waffling and backing off. So this is from earlier today. Trump was asked about this. Guys, give me 1, 2, and 5. 1, 2, and 5 back to back to back for me. We'll do these back to back to back for the sake of time. Guys, go ahead.
No, I'm on nobody's side. I want to, you know what the side I'm on? Humanity's side. I want to stop the killing of thousands of people a week. I want to stop the killing. I want the killing to stop in the Ukraine-Russia war. Oh, I don't think 50 days is very long, and it could be sooner than that. I don't think 50 days is very long. You should have asked that same question to Biden. Why did he get us into this war? You should ask that question. Yeah, and what did he tell you? Why did he get us into this war? You know why he got us in? Because he's a dummy, that's why. And you don't cover it right. But you should be asking that question to Biden. Why did he get us into this war? Because he's incompetent. It would have never happened if I were president. No, he shouldn't target Moscow.
Yeah, I think the power dynamic has shifted here, folks. This ain't the same Trump from the first administration. It's not the same power dynamic geopolitically as the first administration either. And the evidence is everywhere. And even in this response, and it's like, I don't know why Trump just doesn't bury Biden on this issue instead of, he says, oh, you know, Biden did this. Well, now you're doing it. You're not ending it. And you even said if your negotiations failed, which now they have, that you would just pull out and say, let them fight it out. So why are we not doing that now? Why are the neocons and the Warhawks winning again? Why is Nikki Haley and Mike Pompeo, why are they taking a victory lap? But I don't understand. It's like he alludes to it. You know they're not going to ask Joe Biden. You know Joe Biden doesn't even know where he is. Why don't you ask Joe Biden why he did it? Well, do you know the answer then, President Trump? I assume you do. I assume that's why you're forcefully asking the media that. So why did Biden do it? Why don't you tell us, President Trump, why did Biden do it? Because we know why he did it. Because of your foreign policy success, quite frankly, because of your foreign policy success in your first term, you cut off all of the proxy groups. You cut off all the different proxy terror groups and militant cells and everything else in the Middle East. You cut them all off. They weren't getting the funding. They weren't getting the weapons like they were during the Obama years. You cut them off. You bled them dry. You did your victory laps. You said you defeated ISIS. It's all military industrial complex, intelligence groups, intelligence agencies, proxy wars, and you cut them off. You cut off their air supply. So they had nothing. So they used Ukraine as the weapons laundering and the money laundering operation to rearm and refund their proxy groups. And they got their attack on October 7th, and they got the fall of Syria. That's why Biden did it. And they probably armed some other groups in Ukraine, and Ukraine got some of the stuff, too, to attack Russia. But it was way bigger operation than that. That was a CIA operation. And then working with Mossad for October 7th and working with Iran for October 7th and Hezbollah and Hamas and all the different groups for October 7th and then working for the toppling of the Syrian regime. They laundered all the weapons, all the money through Ukraine. That's why they didn't do any oversight. So why don't you just say that? Biden's not going to talk. Just say what they did. But it's like the same thing with the Epstein files. Well, he can't because now he's funding Ukraine more. Now we're sending more defense, more military support for Ukraine. So he can't say it. It's like, yeah, well, I'm going to come out and admit that Ukraine. And by the way, this is how sick they actually are. This is why people like Mike Pompeo and Nikki Haley are demonic. The whole thing is just demonic. You know, I'm politically a pretty cold person.
Like, I'm not going to shed a tear because you lost your welfare. Sorry. I'm not going to shed a tear because you came here illegally and now you're being deported. Sorry. I'm not going to shed a tear. I'm pretty cold policy-wise. I'll be honest. I'm pretty cold. Very, even heartless, you might say. But when it comes to human life, that's a different story. And these freaks are signing missiles that end up killing children. And they're sending hundreds of thousands of Ukrainian men to the slaughter. They know they could never win this war. They knew NATO and the EU and America would never really back them in this war. But they'd use Ukraine for their criminal operation. And they'd send hundreds of thousands of Ukrainian into the slaughterhouse to die. And it's like they don't even care. It's demonic. So here's Mike Pompeo. He gets his victory lap. He's happy here in clip 15.
We saw what the president did yesterday. I think Putin should take seriously what he saw happen in Iran. That is a powerful United States response trying to deter our adversaries and build out a peace regime. That's the president's goal. He's been pretty consistent, Dana, on this for the entirety of his presidency, including in his first 4 years where we put real pressure on Vladimir Putin. It shouldn't surprise anyone that Vladimir Putin lied to President Trump. He lies to everyone. Now we can see that there is a pathway to getting peace. And I think what President Trump announced yesterday alongside General Secretary Ruto, the head of NATO, was a closer, deeper, bigger step towards peace than we have seen so far.
Okay. Yeah, more war. That's how we get. That's how we're going to have peace here, is more war. They don't care about the Ukrainians dying. They don't even care about Ukraine other than it just being a client state for the military-industrial complex to launder money and weapons through. That's all they care about Ukraine for. They know they're not actually going to back the Ukrainians in their war against Russia. They're going to do whatever it is they need to do to launder the money and weapons, and then whatever happens, happens. Zelensky will get thrown under the bus. He'll be lucky if he survives. I would even argue, and this maybe could be the ultimate litmus test here to just see where it's really at. I see Putin as now more aggressive and feeling even more confident that he could actually take Ukraine if he wants. That's how I see it. I don't think, and I'm not saying Putin didn't lie to Trump or misrepresent his goals for the region to Trump. I'm not denying that that could very well be true. But I don't think the power dynamic is Trump talks big and backs the world off. I think it's the opposite now. And I kind of saw this building up after the Iran strikes, and now that Netanyahu is in there controlling the foreign policy, I think the world sees it. Everything is different now. And they're way... They can send whatever they want to Ukraine. It's not going to make a difference. The only real investment we have as far as a military operation is concerned is appeasing Israel. And the whole world sees that. China sees it. Russia sees it. Everybody sees it. So I think now Putin sees this and he says, oh, okay. Oh, yeah, strike Moscow. We'll launch thermonuclear war. And now Trump says, oh, no, I don't want to strike Moscow. And Pompeo and Haley, oh, yes, this is great. More weapons, more money for Ukraine. The president's doing the right thing to back Putin off. Oh, really? Let's see. I bet Putin goes deeper into Ukraine. I wouldn't be surprised if Russia is in Kiev by the end of the year. And let's see how all you neocons feel then. Oh, you'll want World War III, won't you? There's a reason why supplements are so big and so popular and have such a great result. It's because whether it's your diet, whether it's your exercise routine, the point is you're lacking in some very important vitamins, very important minerals that can make you healthier, live longer, and feel better.
We're also under constant attack, Owen, and that's what's very important. So the modern human living experience, the environment that we subject ourselves to, it's the equivalent of smoking like a couple packs of cigarettes every single day. Like, that's the bad food that we eat, that's the poison in the water, XYZ.
So it's kind of like what happens is, Rex Jones in studio with me, we're about to make a very exciting new product announcement here. So what ends up happening is, whether it's the modern day diet or whether it's the modern day atmosphere or whether it's, you know, a sedative state, you're not getting whatever it is you need to make your body function at its highest capabilities.
Absolutely correct. And that's why we created these two new formulas that are now live at thealexjonesstore.com. So we've got Methyl Drive here, and we've also got Power Plant. Now, both of them at their core, they do around the same type of thing. It's increasing fuel for you to create new mitochondria. It's increasing mitochondrial efficiency. It's reducing oxidative stress and XYZ, other things like that. Now, I want to single out Power Plant really quick. If you're a guy and you're looking for a boost, a healthy, sustainable testosterone boost, we made Power Plant specifically for someone who wants to increase their free testosterone.
I remember when I was looking into supplements and stuff and different things, like, you know, people don't get enough boron. They don't even know what boron is. And I remember one thing that always stuck in my head, and that's, you know, it's just true. Well, what does boron kind of rhyme with, folks? I'll just leave it at that. You know what I mean?
We've got bits and pieces of a system here that comes together and provides you just the antioxidant support you need, the testosterone support you need, the mitochondrial health support you need. It's all there. It's all together. It's in both of these products. You could take both of these at the same time and experience a heck of a lot of benefits. Now, I would say younger, older. You're an older person. You need more overall body support. You need the overall antioxidant support. I would go with the Methyl Drive. But if you're a younger person or someone looking for a performance boost, I would go with the Power Plant.
I can enhance what I'm doing here maybe like tenfold with the right supplement routine.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that statement. Look, the reason why this is called Power Plant is because it has cordyceps in it. Now, of course, the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell and all that, but cordyceps is like an elite top tier, S tier ingredient, which increases the amount of ATP you make, which indirectly helps you make more mitochondria, but beyond that, increases your oxygen carrying capacity. So you want to talk about workouts, you want to talk about power, you want to talk about strength, talk about Power Plant.
And that's what you need, especially when you're doing a heavy lift and you need to have good breathing, or you're doing long form cardio and you need to have strong breathing. That's where this is going to come into play. And when you started to talk about the new product that we just came out with the PQQ and the CoQ10.
Yes, the Methyl Drive.
Folks, I'm telling you, it's like, if I had to do a list of like, okay, if someone said you can pick five things that you're going to get in a supplement, like what are the most important things? Guarantee you, you ask me 100 times, PQQ and CoQ10 are on that list for me 100 times.
Vitamin B12, as-methylcobalamin, the good kind. Magnesium, coenzyme Q10, CoQ10, PQQ. Black pepper for absorption. You can't ask for a better catch-all, really. And the synergy that both of these products have with the Methylene Blue is unparalleled. You will not find a better product on the market that's targeted in that specific way, because we made these for you, the customer, and for ourselves, because we believe in the product. We take the product.
TheAlexJonesStore.com to get these new products. Try them for yourself. I know they're going to become a staple. I see Rex working out here every once in a while. We've worked out in the gym every once in a while. And, you know, he's really excited about this stuff. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Deceptions. Welcome to the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
All right, joining me now is Gabby Cuccia, and you can follow her news and stories, including the reason why I have her on today, GabrielleCuccia.substack.com. You can also follow her on X at Gabby Cuccia. And with all, how do we want to say it, fragmenting, decomposing, outright collapse of the MAGA coalition and the Trump administration, I figured why not have her in? She got to experience a bit of it firsthand. And really the story I want to talk to her about now, from pressed to punished, what happened to me can happen to you. And then we'll get to some of these other things that she sent my crew as well. But Gabby, thank you for joining us. Why don't you just kind of introduce your story here to my audience before I get into some more leaning questions?
Sure, appreciate it, Owen. Yeah, I actually served during the first term for President Trump. Surprisingly, even though I'm conservative, I also served in the White House in a technical capacity under Obama. It was an apolitical position before anybody like has a heart attack. Spent the last 6 years as a security contractor, doing a lot of overlap with DOD elements and IC, intelligence community elements. And then as of recently, I don't know if anyone remembers, but it was all over X right when Hegseth announced that he was going to be kicking out CNN and CBS. and in was coming in Breitbart and One America News. So I had been contacted by OAN to come on into the Pentagon to take over the CBS suite and report every single day at the Pentagon what's going on. And it was awesome. Loved it. For a hot second, because very quickly as I entered in, I honestly thought it was going to be a damn easy job considering, okay, I'm MAGA, have been since the get, conservative, and DOD ops are kind of within my wheelhouse. So anyway, showed on up, and within moments of me being there, I think it was the very first week, we were told that the Pentagon press briefing room would be locked. Thought that was really weird. I was a White House correspondent at one point in time as well, in between of all these other jobs I've done prior. And that never happens at the White House, whether or not the president's there or on a trip. So that was a new one for me. That was not typical. That press briefing door room is always open and always has been, no matter what administration has been through there. So a little bit of that was going on. Then there was no press briefings at all. The one press briefing that happened up until that point before I had been fired was Sean Parnell, who became the spokesman instead of the press secretary. The press secretary hasn't once done a press briefing. There's been two so far in that seat. Neither one of them has ever done a press briefing. So Sean Parnell had done one. I was contacted by his team to for me to send them three questions to give them a heads up, I suppose, of what I was going to be asking. I thought that was weird, but at the same time, I was like, all right, they're new, like they're just trying to get their feet wet, and surely they'll answer my questions. And at that time, too, it was about Gitmo. And I know everyone remembers the footage that came out for CECOT, right, where all the criminals were being passed on over into El Salvador. And we have a one-year agreement with the United States and El Salvador to keep all of these criminals in CECOT. So I was like, all right, all good news to me. I got no questions about it other than, do we foresee, now that DOD has taken on this very huge responsibility that they didn't do in the last administration, and then it was kind of new for the Trump administration to roll that out, but getting DOD more involved in Homeland Security overlap within the borders and beyond. So I was like, okay, question very simple. How much is it going to cost? And do we anticipate at least maybe after 1 year doing another deal where it lasts maybe 2 years? Like, what are we looking at in general? This was at the same exact time that everybody was freaking out. When I say everybody, not necessarily us, but like the left freaking out about Gitmo and the standards there and what we were doing over there and whatever. So very simple. And when they finally called on me, that was the second question. They didn't even answer it. They responded back saying, well, that's a question for Homeland Security. Can't answer it for you. And so anytime I've ever had any inquiry, it was always kind of, which I was surprised about again, right? Because, like, you know, OAN or, you know, any of the more left-leaning outlets, it's kind of, it's easier for me in some senses, right, when you're dealing with politicals, to get the answers to the questions that we all want, right? Because they're usually pretty damn excited to answer those. But it became something completely different. So that was very disheartening. And then moving forward again, there was no press briefings. I even if anyone remembers when Dan Caldwell got escorted out of the Pentagon, the only way that anyone knew that he even got escorted out of the Pentagon, which, you know, I'm not dumb when it comes to how nasty the media can be. You know, like, I'm not making any excuses for some of the BS that we constantly are being thrown. That's the whole point of the MAGA movement. Yeah, Trump is the actual individual that, you know, created the hat, wears the hat, literally and figuratively. But at the crux of it, when this all started back in 2015, it was, hold on a second, we are so hyper obsessed with our government and letting them do whatever they want, we forgot what America was even about and asking the right questions. So I say all that to say, there is an element of press, whether you want to call it new press, old press, bad press, good press, whatever the hell you might want to call it. The only reason we even knew Dan Caldwell and all these people started getting pushed out of the Pentagon was because the Pentagon reporters that were physically in the building saw him walk out. So, you know, during that time, Dan Caldwell got really popular and was on Tucker Carlson. And I remember everyone being like, oh, my gosh, why is Susan Rice on one of these policy boards over at the Pentagon? I can tell you, I was the first person to sound the alarms to Hegseth's team and go, hey. So I say this, and it'll make sense in a hot second, is that, yeah, I'm critical, sure. I'm fair. I'm not just going to blindly be like, yeah, it's cool, we lock the doors. Yeah, it's cool, we don't answer questions. Yeah, it's cool, we don't got accountability because I love Hegseth or I love Trump. You know what I mean? Like, that's not, I mean, look at the Epstein stuff. Not to get on a whole tangent on that. But Caldwell was getting taken out. he goes on Tucker. Now all of a sudden people have a little bit more eyes on what's going on post-Singlegate because we were told it was fake news. It was no different than Russia hoax. Same thing with the Epstein files, whatever you want to say. And he had said, oh, you know, by the way, Susan Rice and all these other Biden Obama holdovers are actually on these Pentagon DOD boards. I was the one that contacted Hegseth's team, and I had said to them individually through text and on phone, hey, guys, you got this policy board. Is it up to date? Yeah, it's absolutely up to date. And I said, all right, well, you know that the base is not going to be too happy about that one because I'm obligated to report it. I'm not going to just hide something because you guys like me or you like my outlet. And they didn't respond. I called. They said they'll give me an answer, what they're going to do about that. Never heard back. Called the Pentagon office directly that handles that policy board that I identify in the Substack. And they seem to have no issue either, and even wrote me back in an email. I tag it in my Substack, being like, "Yeah, we're happy that this thing is up to date. Susan Rice, cool to go." Like,
is this the Secretary of Defensive story?
Yeah, yeah. So, in other words,
I'm trying to make sense of this. So, in other words, you're just in there reporting. I guess they figured that since you're affiliated with OAN, that you would report nothing but positive news. And then when you just decided to report neutrally, what happened?
So I report neutrally up until that very point, still reporting neutrally. I was asked on one of our shows to talk about Signalgate. And now, again, this is during Dan Caldwell and Darren Selnick and all these people getting moved out of the Pentagon. And they asked me, one of the show hosts point blank asked me, hey, Hegseth, does he stay or does he go? And I honestly, this is what got me in trouble moving forward. This was in April. I honestly said, based on the sources that I have, and if you look at the frequency of his firings compared to the frequency of his hirings and the first Trump term, all that together signals to me that at a bare minimum, he has a year. I said he's fine up until the winter time. And I was defining that and said, hey, you know, this is based on the information I know. And he probably should just have a little bit more confidence and maybe start exercising some of the press briefings. Because the administration, when you count how much it costs to bring these people on board, to have them at a bare minimum have a public trust, which is required at bare minimum, working in the government, those all cost money. There's no way the administration's going to be like, keep on hiring people if we're going to kick you on out. So I had said that immediately. This is when it gets problematic, because you talked about this throughout your whole show. I just watched as soon as you started talking about the fact that, what are we like trying to gatekeep for the administration? I said that I got a call from from two people within my organization, my news network, who were contacted by one individual on the White House press team and another individual from Hegseth's press team, them telling that person from my former employer that I was, quote, a problem for the administration for saying that Hegseth may depart. Now, outside of that, Trump has had three defense secretaries his first term. Most presidents have 2 to 3. It's very in pattern for them to depart in the wintertime. So there's that. The person that relayed this information to me said, and this was in response to, they had clipped me being interviewed for the show and put it on X, and it went viral. And so they had said that they were happy that the administration was unhappy with me, because that means they're watching, because they've had issue with getting administration officials on their show. So all in all, the clickbait for this network that I worked for them, but apparently they didn't care that it was going to have a target on my back now. So anyway, a month after the fact, so this is two government officials contacting my former employer a month after the fact. Now, I've had this Substack, I've had two articles up about working at the Pentagon and information that I think is super important. I've also talked about the auto pen. I've worked in the White House, again, first term for Trump, so I know this stuff. And I've never had an issue with anyone calling out my Substack in the past. Well, a month later, after that initial phone call, the same individual from Hegseth's team contacted my employer to what I was told yell at my employer for the article that I had written, which was, again, all about just the SOPs that are problematic that were happening at the Pentagon.
I've got limited time with you here, so I want to kind of just put a bookend on this and then get into some of the finer details. So in other words, what they wanted out of you, not your former employer, I assume you're talking about OAN, but not your former employer, but it sounds like what the Pentagon wanted out of whoever was in there from the press, they just wanted people. They just wanted people that were going to go in there and report good news, I suppose you could put it that way. And so when you decided to report the facts as you saw them, they forced you out. They made sure that you weren't there anymore.
Yes, exactly correct. Because after, so they there's two instances that I illustrate that they contacted my former employer. When I was taken out of the Pentagon, they called on a Thursday. That was May 30th or 29th. That was Thursday. They contacted my employer. My employer asked me to come into their DC studio to hand over my Pentagon badge, and said that they did not want me representing them at the Pentagon.
Is there anybody in the Pentagon? Is there any press there anymore?
Honestly, no one shows up until like noon because there's nothing, there's no press briefings. Well, but the bigger issue here is that after that fact, I get a phone call from another Pentagon official, again, under Hegseth's team, calling me to say, after he saw the Substack went viral, I got like, 50, for me, viral is 50,000 views. Like, I'm a regular person. I just, you know, I'm not you, you know, you got a good following. But like, so this thing was getting some traction, and they called me and they said, what do you want? What do you want? Do you want your job back? I have a good relationship with that network. I'll get you your job back. Yeah, what? And they said to me, that what happened to you and us forcing you out was a direct quote was, I was a cancer of what's going on at the Pentagon under OSD, the Office of the Secretary of Defense.
Well, you know, this actually, it makes me, it gives me some confirmation of my fear now, which is that the way the Trump administration is handling this, and maybe even Trump himself, it's hard because there's so many different moving parts, is that they basically, MAGA doesn't really mean anything to them anymore. And Trump doesn't have to run for re-election. So even strategically for himself, whatever, he can move on and it doesn't matter. But it sounds like to me they don't even really care about MAGA or the base anymore. They've got enough people that they know will carry water for them. They've got enough people that they know will just report the, whatever propaganda, whatever they want them to report. So they're just not interested. And now, look, it's one thing to kick the fake news out of there and deal with that, okay? It's a whole nother thing to say, hey, we're not going to have anybody reporting something we don't like. But I want to get into some of the finer details here.
Yeah.
And by the way, because I've talked to other people that worked in the Pentagon, it sounds to me like you worked there for about 2 weeks before your morale gets near to zero. That's just kind of the situation at the Pentagon at large. But like, for example, the situation with Caldwell, what do you think is leading to all of this? What do you think is leading to so many people getting walked out or getting removed like yourself? Is it because they won't just be yes men, or is there something else going on?
Yeah, I think it's just kind of an easier, like, fix the problems as easiest as you can. The problem being if you have to answer to anything. I mean, if they think that Signalgate was problematic, I mean, I can think of like a bunch of different communication options as how to tackle that one, of which I did for them, not in a sense of like that I'm like running cover, but there's a whole other topic of conversation talking about covert communications and the lack of accessibility because of IP and certain, there's a lot of details that they easily could have just fell on and said, hey, our super phones don't, you know, handle communication up to X of this level. Everyone uses Signal. You can go to the CIA farm. Everybody has Signal on their phone. I mean, everyone's using it. So it's more of like a thing that they inherited in this second term because we've been using it since 2014. But outside of that, just to answer your question, is like, is it easier just to take away the mic on someone? Is it easier to take away the mic or the ability to knock on the door? I'm sure Caldwell was knocking on the door going, hey, you know, with the situation of Iran, this is my evaluation. And also, I mean, tying back both of those, I guess, to Signal, because that's where all these departures were happening. Just say that there were leakers and people that were defectors. I mean, their first press secretary, albeit, yeah, he put out an op-ed and I was like, ooh, during that time when it's very early on, everyone was like, there's chaos at the Pentagon. Like, look, see, this is one of the first people to opt out of OSD, Secretary of Defense's office. But he wasn't completely wrong. Maybe the timing was off. But yeah, I just don't think that they want to necessarily handle it. But I will tell you, I know direct people who have within that camp that have departed. When you talk about Caldwell, Selnick, and the rest.
Well, it sounds like to me, my interpretation when it was all going down was that there was like, there was headbutting going on when it came to foreign policy. And I wasn't even so sure how much Hegseth had to do with it. It looked like Hegseth kind of had his own thing going on with maybe trying to get a word in edgewise with President Trump on foreign policy, and maybe he wasn't even overseeing things at the Pentagon like people before him had, and so it kind of just got lost in translation. Yeah. How much of this do you think just has to do with foreign policy headbutting and the powers that be just say, if you're going to butt heads with us, you're not going to be here anymore?
Yeah, well, it's exactly what we're talking about. The perfect example is what was going on with Iran. And so all of a sudden, everyone in MAGA just drew a line in the sand. Oh, you hate Trump. You've never been here since the beginning of time. You're an absolute defector if you don't support the strikes in Iran. Like, we totally lost the ability just to have healthy debate up to the very highest levels of the loyalists, which would be those that were picked to serve in the government. And it's really unfortunate. But there's also the other element, too, as I can tell you. And I would have thought this was fake news if I wasn't there myself. But there's all these articles that were running around saying, like, Hegseth's wife is at the Pentagon. And I was like, oh, that's fake news. I'm not even going to think twice about it. She's at the Pentagon. Ricky Berea, who's a holdover close confidant of Lloyd Austin, is also at the Pentagon under Hegseth's team. Who am I thinking of? Tim Parlator, the famous lawyer for Gallagher. On all three of those, and I've heard from multiple accounts, and it appears to reflect the behavior of what's happening at the Pentagon, all three of them are in front of Hegseth constantly showing him bad press, which just makes him more and more uncomfortable even addressing the press or having a solid answer for anything. Because, yeah, you could say you can't stand Jennifer Griffin. Like, I'm not saying one way or the other. I understand the MAGA base doesn't like her, but when she asked the question of, hey, yo, do you guys know if uranium's being transported or not prior to the strikes of those three nuclear sites? His first answer, the first chance he had was to say how much he hated her. Like, fake news or not, I mean, you got to answer some of those questions. But when you constantly have these three
be fair here. Jennifer Griffin has some of the highest journalistic standards in Washington, D.C.
Hey, listen, I'm not defending any of the networks or the individuals, but I will defend the right to ask a question that's legitimate. And that one, everybody wanted to know that one and still kind of wants to know that one. And
do you think, I'm more inclined to kind of defend Hegseth. Because I think he's more aligned with what we would maybe call the original MAGA base.
Is it
that these people 100%. Are just kind of like, you know, like you said, they're just bringing him all this negativity. He's constantly having to defend himself. I think, you know, maybe he brings his wife around because they're spreading these rumors about their, you know, marriage or whatever. Is he just like constantly on this defense of his own character that he can't even really do his job effectively? And then he dedicates most of his time to trying to help Trump stay in line on foreign policy, and then Radcliffe looks like he's having an orgasm when Hegseth doesn't get his way.
Oh, no, hell yeah. I do agree with you. I think, like, the job can be pretty damn easy in the sense that, like, DOD, the most conservative, typical DOD elements that, like, actually want to make gender-neutral standards and not have the DEI stuff and, like, and don't want to drag us into the GWAT all over again, whatever that looks like in the modern day. I mean, up for debate now, but I think it's not that difficult to relay. You're relaying what's going on within the Pentagon, and you're relaying and executing what the president wants. You're in the perfect position because you have able bodies that are strong and naturally conservative, and you got a president that you totally believe in the beliefs that he has and elected him to do so. So yeah, it's a pretty easy position in that sense. So being able to go on camera or answer questions, I mean, he just has to relay the information, not necessarily even defend it, because the left is always going to want you to, they're never going to be happy even when you make the right decision. So that's kind of just out of the question. Yeah, I just think he's being surrounded by a lot of negativity. And he should just take confidence in the fact that, like I said, I don't anticipate him out of there any sooner than
January. You're sticking by that.
Yeah, it's just common nature. That's within the
I mean, norm. He went through hell. He went through hell just to get the job. I mean, that'd be the only thing I'd maybe.
They all do.
Yeah.
And they all do, and I feel for them. Like, that's the thing. I never have written anything in those articles. Those articles weren't even about Hegseth. It was about the overall message that you have to love your country, not your government. And if you
Well, and I think it was pretty clear. I mean, to me, from the outside looking in, the dividing lines were, if you're going to be an anti-war voice in this State Department, you're out. I mean, that's what it looked like to the outsiders, is anti-war voices, you're out. You're not going to have a job here anymore.
I mean, that first article that I wrote in the Substack was all about, hey, what? Watch out for what has just happened in the GWAT. I mean, some of us are still pretty young and, yeah, grew up during 9/11, but people tend to forget, unfortunately, kind of what was surrounding all of that and what the Iraq war looked like. And hey, I mean, they haven't put it in the Substack. Like, Rumsfeld was there during Iraq, and he tried to do the same thing that Hegseth did, which was limit the access of press. I'm not arguing that when they put that memo out and said, hey, we want to restrict press. And the only thing I agreed with was, okay, they should have press badges. That makes sense to me. You have them at the White House. But to say that all of these disclosures are Caldwell's fault or Selnick's fault, or it's the Singlegate was the media's fault. Although I get good leaks, man. Like, I get good leaks that people tell me because they want Doge to take care of something, or they want Congress to lift some restrictions so they're not paying $500 for a Microsoft cert per soldier when it really costs $150.
Well, you know, it is funny that you say that, because there is I'm not going with that leftist group that tries to spy on conservatives, but they call themselves the Undercurrent. But I mean, There basically is this undercurrent now, and I mean, whether it's Caldwell or these others, I'm not going to name names here, but like, let's just say there is serious pushback in D.C. anti-war voices, yeah. Whatever. They use surrogates to send messages to me, and they're like, hey, don't. And I'm independent, so I mean, it's different when you're working there. But they're like, hey, don't let up, don't let up, don't let up. I mean, that's the message I get. Final 90 seconds. Just can you describe the differences between the first administration when you were at the Pentagon and the couple months you served for the second?
Biggest differences. I think there was less fear, or yeah, there was a higher confidence. Everybody was just running on confidence, going, hell yeah, this has never been done before. We're going to be unapologetic about it, and we're going to listen to the people. And we're losing a little bit of that. That's the whole point. That's my warning. Don't lose it. And everyone that's in MAGA, stop drawing a damn line in the sand. Have some healthy debate and stop freaking out every 5 seconds about whatever's going on. We're allowed to ask when we're engaged in foreign policy. We were allowed to ask that the first time around. We were allowed to ask it during the campaign. Why are we not allowed to ask it now?
And of course, certainly, you know, being critical of the Biden White House was celebrated, but now, you know, just shut up and move on. So have you been totally disenfranchised, or will you continue to report on DC politics?
No, I'll still continue to report. I'm like, I served for the last 10 years and politics has been my fun thing, but like, I've done my time. So I didn't do it just to be a freaking talking head. I did it to actually know what the hell I need to look out for to protect this country. That's all I care about. All I'll ever care about.
It
doesn't matter.
Yeah. Well, it is funny. So. You can lump yourself in. It's like Elon Musk and these others are like, hey, this ain't what we voted for, guys. FYI. And then it's like, oh, really? Get the hell out of here. So, whatever. Good for you. You kept your integrity. You told the truth. Gabrielle Cuccia, follower on X, and maybe we'll be talking again soon.
Hell yeah.
Just got in my methylene blue, ultra methylene blue, USP grade from thealexjonesstore.com. And I've heard all the rants and raves about this. I'm real interested to see how I'm going to feel. I'm going to do a third dropper and then some water right now, and I am going to see, that's plenty, maybe that's a little bit more. I'm gonna mix this up, and pretty excited to see how this is gonna work. So after I fully drink this, I will let everybody know the effects of hopefully of what is the unlimited power. What's going on, Xers? Jay Rocket here. Just giving y'all an update. It's been an hour past doing the one dropper of the ultramethylene blue USB grade at the alexjonesstore.com. Currently at the gym right now, and it's hard to explain what I feel, other than I do feel the mental clarity. I don't have any cloudy thoughts. My focus seems relaxed, but very on point. And the energy kind of feels clean. No jittery, things like that. I haven't really felt any tingling or anything. Maybe if I'll need to probably take an extra dropper next time. This is on an empty stomach as well. So definitely feel just cool, calm, and collected. But very focused, very centralized.
is a very calm Zen feeling. So if you haven't gotten to try this stuff yet, y'all need to go to the thealexjonesstore.com and get your methylene blue today.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.